Hi, friends. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast about marriage, divorce, and the crazy adventures of co-parenting with your hosts, April and Lauren.
Join us each week as the wife and former wife of the same man discuss a topic straight from their personal experiences of what it takes to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively co-parenting six children.
Welcome to episode 70 of Co-Parenting Past Chaos. How are we doing this week?
I would say better.
I thought you were going to say borderline.
I mean, yes and no. Oddly, it's been a very good and also rough week, I would say. I mean, just like weird things have happened, I suppose.
Are you more tired than normal?
Yes.
I was thinking about this as I think today was my 16th time going to the grocery store this week. Kids eat a lot.
Yeah,
and
they do.
I am so grateful for John for one, like a lot of things, but this particular thing that he does the grocery shopping, and he normally does it for both of us, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that he does it, and I wish he would get back for a lot of things, but mostly for grocery shopping.
I told you I would go next week. We'll just trade off.
Yeah, I just can't do this.
You do one week, I'll do another.
And every time I think about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to do grocery pickup, because he hates grocery pickup.
I do too. Yeah. I want to be on the aisles. Like, but I need to see everything.
I just hate being in the grocery store, so I wanted to do grocery pickup, but then by the time I think of it, it's too late to pick it up the same day. Yep. So it's a whole thing. Anyway, the last time I was a single mom, like true single mom, was in my 20s, and I had so much more energy. Like, I could party all night, still get up the next morning, take care of kids. I'm exhausted now. I mean, all I do is work, but I'm exhausted.
Like, I just pump my body with caffeine at this point, which is not healthy.
I need something. Help me. So we're doing better than we were last week. That's all we can hope for. But isn't it funny how life happens? We talked briefly last week about this in our episode, how grateful we are to have found this amazing friendship with each other. I could not imagine doing this week, this life, but this week, especially the last 2 weeks, even without you.
Oh, like,
to have somebody that really, truly gets you and understands that sometimes you're crabby for no other reason than
you don't have to explain it.
Yeah, just because.
Yes.
Like, and I just want to go to bed.
Yep.
And lay down and not see people. And it doesn't mean that I don't still love you with everything.
I don't take it offensively. Yeah. I don't think you do when I'm short-tempered.
No. I'm like,
I get it. She's having a moment, and
I understand it, and it's perfect. Yep. And that's why we get along so well. Last week, we discussed co-parenting current events and how mom and stepmom are still co-parenting while the dads are away, kind of like a keeping up with the Kirks and the importance of maintaining
a routine.
Same routine in spite of our current situation. This week, we are talking about how to not kill your ex.
Fun.
And not literally. Like, you know, we've never been convicted of
anything.
Attempted murder.
No. So there's a good little PSA right there.
We've both gone through really rough divorces, and part of our reasoning behind starting this blog and podcast was to tell our stories of what we were able to overcome and offering strength to other women. This week writing, I will tell you that I don't know why, because we've written, 100 blogs.
Oh, yes.
And this week, though, just made me feel so good to relive a time that was so hard for me. And now to be able to talk about it with a smile and not.
And do you remember when we first started writing these blogs, some of these topics we touched on, how it was so difficult to write them
and
the emotions that it brought up. But now we're kind of rewriting them a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're able to find a little bit of laughter.
It's healing. And we thought that it would be. We knew when we started writing that it was going to be a healing and talking about it. Anytime you talk about something, I mean, that's what I love to go to therapy. I've always gone.
Agreed.
And I love it because just talking about it, just getting it outside your body and giving it its own kind of voice or what have you.
Right.
It just makes you feel validated.
It's so cathartic to write this week.
Yeah. We're firm believers that everything happens for a reason. When you're going through a divorce, it's really, really hard to look for any kind of silver lining or any kind of positivity. Even harder in child custody battles. And that's why it's better to not do that and avoid it at all costs. But sometimes divorce happens, and that doesn't mean it has to be ugly. We've both gone through two divorces, sadly. Ironically enough, one was ugly and one was not as ugly. Would you agree?
That's right. Yeah. We each had a good divorce and a bad divorce.
Yeah. However, they both taught us lessons about life. And most importantly, I think about ourselves.
Yes, for sure.
In your opinion, what should somebody do or what should someone know before they get married?
You need to know yourself.
You need to know exactly who you are, mm-hmm. what you want out of life, and not necessarily what you want out of a partner, but what you want specifically for your life. And to know that whenever you do meet someone to make a life partner, that's going to be your teammate. That's not going to be someone that, you know, finishes you, makes you whole. You should already be whole.
That is
and it
perfect.
Should be a teammate.
That is the most perfect thing you've ever said.
It took us two divorces each to get there.
But here we
are. So you
are.
Can listen to our mistake advice.
I think about, I mean, you know, I was very young when I got married. Mm-hmm. And I think about that. I didn't have time to really plan out what kind of life I wanted. But I wish that I could tell other people. And I try to tell my kids, but they don't, you know, your kids never listen to you. They'll listen to other people, but they don't listen to you because moms don't know anything.
That's
but
right.
I want to tell other people, really take your time. Don't be... I think in high school, when you have a boyfriend and you're so in love and you think, oh, it'll be the end of the world if we break up. It's not going to be.
No. And I think for women, we think, oh, we have to hurry up and get married and
yes,
have children.
That's
or
what we're supposed
I
to
want
do.
To do a wedding and all these things. No.
There's plenty of time.
There's so much time for that. And let me just tell you, getting married and divorced in your 20s does make you happier in your 30s. But yeah. That's probably not the order you have to do it in.
No.
You know, if you just don't. If you just grow up first and get to know yourself first, you'll avoid the whole divorce thing altogether.
I remember writing this in probably the first or second blog we ever wrote that I didn't know as a young, sadly 16-year-old when I got married the first time. But even the second time as a young 20-something-year-old, I didn't know what I wanted on my pizza.
Yeah.
Let alone what I wanted out of a marriage.
That's right.
And that should be forever. Like, you should never get into a relationship that's serious, that you're talking about marriage, if you don't feel like everything is laid out.
I think when you get married as a teenager, for me, I was 20, you think you are holding that person down. That means they're going to be with you forever.
Oh, yes.
And that's what you want, because at that point in life, you don't know who you are.
You think it solidifies your relationship.
Yeah, you've attached yourself to this person and you think, well, this is who I am. I've got him now. And like, this is what's going to make me happy.
And
well,
sick enough.
What happens when that doesn't work out? Where's your happiness? Where'd it go?
It's in him.
Yeah. Where did it go? Bye.
Right.
I've always said, don't ever tell me that I am your whole world. Because what happens when your world goes? You can't ever put your whole world onto somebody else.
Heck no. Like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Do not put all of yourself in someone else.
Exactly.
Don't put any of yourself in anybody.
No happiness, no nothing.
No. Here's my list. Find out how your partner feels about everything. Everything. Morals, personality, skeletons in their closet. Are they even ready to settle down? Do they want kids? Do they not want kids? If so, how are you going to discipline them? What's their idea on family? Their family, your family that you'll build together. Religion, careers, finances. That's huge. Like, who's going to handle the money?
Both of you? Have the uncomfortable conversations.
Yes. You and I were just talking about that.
Yes,
having uncomfortable conversations. And finances aren't fun. Like,
no.
It's not, you know, it's all great, they say, when you're dating, because there's no bills involved. There's no kids involved. Now, for us, it was totally different because
right. We
came in with all that stuff. But what kind of home do they want? Find that out before you get married. Which side of the bed are they going to sleep on? How do they want to celebrate holidays?
How do they chew when they eat?
How do they breathe?
Oh,
are they going to help you with how do they feel about housework? Are they going to help you with it? Or do they feel like the women should do it and they should be in charge of the outside work? Or is it all split? Or just how does that work? Are they messy? I don't want a messy. Mm-hmm. I want a clean. What kind of music do they listen to? Because you don't want to be driving down the road listening to jazz if you don't like jazz. You don't want to listen to rock.
You want to know everything.
You want to know everything. You want to know who gets to control the remote. For the love of God, find out where they want to eat for dinner.
That's a good one. That's
Seems
true.
Seems like that is like the most.
But you know, when you're dating, sometimes having these conversations, it's like a fun playhouse type of conversation. And you need to really listen to their answers, because
you
they
think
might
they say what you want to hear.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you not think that John, before he married me, thought, oh, her being messy is kind of cute. Her not washing your hair, not such a bad thing. Well, 1 year into marriage,
he
starts smelling like a potato chip, and he's sick of rehanging up your hangers and your clothes on the floor. It's not cute anymore.
No.
He didn't appreciate it.
Do you remember when we weren't even friends at this point, but we had a conversation one day. I want to say it was one day at Jackson's Karate. We had this like really in-depth conversation and we were talking about like men annoying. You were saying all the things that John did to annoy you. And I'm like, he doesn't do anything that annoys me. Well, yes, he does.
That was only like a year
in. That was a year in. Now we're like 12 years in.
So basically you want to have your expectations set to where even if this person is telling you this is how they feel, you want to really make sure. Like you're not just saying it. You're not just saying it because you love me right now. Are you going to still love me in 5 years after you've had to clean up my laundry off the floor for 5 years? It's cute after a year, but is it cute after five?
Here's a big fat lie Roy told me. It really matters. Like, it seriously matters to me. When we were dating, he was all like, oh, yeah, I love the scary movies. Let's watch them. Okay, you know I'm a big fan of the scary movie.
Yeah,
I love anything
you and
scary.
I are.
Yeah, both of us. So we love a scary movie. Okay, how about waking up in the middle of the night and the dog has escaped from its crate, but Roy doesn't know that and think it's the demon from The Descent, and he's jumping up on the bed, stark naked, screaming like a girl. Wasn't so fun then.
Wasn't so fun.
Yeah, so he lied. He does not like scary movies, and we had to sleep with the lights on for
a
week.
Don't say it because you think it's cute.
No, it's not
cute.
Just
be real and honest.
Don't be trying to get brownie points with me. Just be honest.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to sit up there with some guy and say, hey, yeah, of course I'll cook five meals a week for you. Listen, I'm not going to cook at all.
She's not.
So I want to set that expectation in the bar very low right now.
And I'm not going to be the way that I look. Like, I think when I married Roy and I married John both, not at the same time, but separately, obviously, I always dressed up. Like, because with my job, I've always dressed up. And I do like to dress up. That is me. That's my normal self. COVID has caused me to be really homeless looking, and I'm not even sorry for it. Because
I can't even blame mine on COVID.
Yours is just
mine is my natural.
But I think they're so used to, like, they love that. That's not how I'm going to be all the time. I'm not going to be in heels and jewelry and dresses every single day.
And I'm not
going to
shower. So I'm going to bring my C game up front so you have no
expectations. You always say that. And at first I was like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but I gotta give you props for that. I mean, I think that's pretty
good
idea.
Keep the bar low.
keep it low. All right, on a serious note though, like you said, find yourself before you get married. More importantly, love yourself.
Yes.
I didn't know
who I was.
I don't think I
loved
myself until recently. No kidding. And I probably still don't sometimes.
You don't?
Sometimes I hate
you all the time.
I don't hate myself. Sometimes I just really don't like myself, and I'm my toughest critic. But
you are.
Don't do as I say, not as I do, okay? Never, ever depend on someone else to validate you or in general.
I want to give that to someone on a tattoo. Like, yeah. I mean, seriously. I think more people need to understand that entire statement.
Like, I remember my mom telling me this, and I always thought it was, I don't think facetious is the right word, but I thought it was underhanded and just very sneaky. But she would always say, every woman should have a separate bank account. Like, that she should have money set aside.
I agree with that.
And I was always like, no, I don't want to keep secrets from my husband. Keep them.
Keep
secret. Like that.
Yeah.
Like just a little stash. Because you never, ever
protect yourself.
You never, like, even God forbid if something were to happen and your husband were to pass away. What if he had been living this life of, you know, giving you everything you wanted, but really you guys were in so much debt and you have nothing. Okay. Yep. Now you do because you were smart and you tucked away a little. Every now and again.
Stash.
All right, what type of person were you when you first got married? The first time.
The first time I was feisty, set in my ways, stubborn, and I was insecure, but would have never told you I was insecure. You would have never
known. So not much has changed.
Not much has changed. Yes. But I was much more outspoken. I was a little firecracker. So if we were ready to fight, like we were going to fight. My first husband was kind of the same way. You know, we had very similar personalities. So we just had a very spicy marriage. You know, there was always arguments about the dumbest of things. We were very jealous of one another and anyone around each other. For sure. I was 20.
Yeah.
I was engaged at 18. You know, he's my high school sweetheart. We had no idea what we were doing in this big world. You know, you marry into the military, they give you a house, you're 20 years old, I've never owned anything of myself, never paid a bill, and here I am getting to live this adult life. Like, what was I? Nobody told me how to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody shows you.
You don't, and you try to learn by example, which you probably had a good example with your mom and stepdad.
I did. I definitely did.
I did not have a very good example, unfortunately. I had a good example on how to be a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
My mom always was that, but not on what a healthy marriage should look like.
I think I just felt like I was playing house.
Yeah, and always that's fun because it's make-believe.
And all of our friends were our age. Nobody had kids. You know, it was just, it was almost like college.
But you got to do it with a person.
With a person. But a person that was insecure. We were both secretly very insecure. And those reflected onto one another.
Of course.
So it inevitably was just doomed from the start.
Well, I was a child bride. You already know.
Yeah.
The first time I got married, here's how, like, the leading up to that. 14, I find out I'm pregnant. 15, I have a baby. 15, I get engaged. 16, I get married. That's creepy and weird.
A little bit.
And obviously didn't work out because.
No.
What were we thinking? Like, I've said
you
this
almost
before.
Go through the motions because you that's do. What you see adults do.
But you're supposed to. You have a baby. You're supposed to get married, right? And I knew very early on, just because of the experience I had with my mom and dad and stepdad growing up, that I wanted to get married one time and it would be forever. Jerry and I didn't even really know each other. I mean, we grew up. I knew him since I was 12 years old, but that didn't mean that we truly knew
exactly
who each other was. If you're hiding in the floorboard of your boyfriend's truck driving through town at 13, 14 years old, probably not a good idea to go on ahead and marry that person because
probably not.
You are a secret.
Hey, that brings in my marriage number two.
So there you go. But I was a child. I mean, I didn't know anything at that point, and we really had no business being married at all.
My first marriage started off so exciting and then quickly just delved into boring.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
because it's boring. And then now what do? We had never talked about having kids or what the next step was or his career or my career. I mean, we didn't talk about those.
Well,
things.
That's where the maturity level comes in.
Yes.
And you don't just get married because, oh, man, it's fun or it's the next thing to do on the list of things that you check off that you're supposed to do as an adult.
And I will tell you, a big part of me, you know, falling in love and getting married with him was probably because I wanted to run away. I wanted a new life. I wanted to be an adult and get out of college and get out of my parents' house. And he wanted to get out of small town East Texas. So what do?
You get married.
You get married. Go down to the county courthouse.
And I think that's probably part of what was going on in my circumstances, that I did want a way out. And that was my way out. Obviously,
I will say my first husband is to this day one of the greatest men. So I was lucky in this aspect. And we've been best friends over the years, which is so ironic. But it wasn't until marriage number two that's when things really got exciting for me.
Oh, it's super exciting. So it's safe to say that you had not finished growing into the woman that you were supposed to be.
Heck no.
Okay, so now what about the second marriage?
Still was not. Probably even worse off.
Do you think you had grown enough from the experience in your first marriage?
No.
Not enough to know what you wanted.
Not at all.
No.
And it happened so quickly because I got pregnant.
Yes.
I got pregnant. And then I'm like, okay, whoa. I still don't know how to be a wife, but now I'm supposed to be a mom. I'm 22 years old. I don't understand what I'm doing. And I'm with this very much older man who has had all of the life experiences. I feel very insecure compared to him because I don't know how to do anything. I'm jumping from being a kid in a kid relationship into a marriage with a child and a full grown adult.
Like, you didn't have time to really grow. I mean, I know I got married young, but I feel like
you had time in between.
I at least had time to grow up even before. I mean, I grew up fast. I was very mature for my age. Mm-hmm. But for you, like, you really did. And even me, I did have 3 years between my first marriage and my second marriage. But I didn't use that time to really figure out what I wanted in a marriage. And I didn't use that time to find myself. I used that time to drink away the past 8 years and to have a good time because I never got to have that as a teenager.
I never got that because literally overlapping my first marriage was me getting pregnant and then getting married a second, all within a year. So I had no time to have just Lauren being single or whatnot. I was all of a sudden a mom, and then 2 months or 5 months later, I was a wife again.
Yeah.
So I never, and I feel bad because John really didn't get anything but rollover leftovers.
I told you this the other day. You and I were having a conversation. I don't remember what the context was, but I said, I believe that had you and John taken more time between your divorces, that you could have probably made your marriage work. Had you really gotten to know each other better and really talked about,
if we had met under different circumstances and really had a relationship,
or maybe you would have never gotten married to begin with,
but we would have done it maturely.
Right.
We would have maturely said, hey, we're dating right now. This isn't working out. I wish you the best. You know, and parted ways,
right,
in a healthy way, and never had any trauma from,
right,
from our experience together.
So when I got married for the second time, like I said, I hadn't figured out who I was, but that marriage wasn't unhealthy. It wasn't volatile in any way. I will say we should have talked more. He doesn't like to express himself or his feelings, or he doesn't like to talk about that. It's very uncomfortable for him. So that should have been a very big, in-depth conversation that we had, because I needed that. I needed a lot more validation. I was really damaged, and I was embarrassed, I think, to even tell him. Anybody for that matter, but to tell him, even though I was so comfortable with him, and we did, I always used to say this about our marriage. My favorite thing was that we communicated. No, we talked. We didn't communicate.
I think this is something that you and I can both pinpoint in our marriages individually. You have a marriage of friendship.
Yeah.
And you have a marriage of passion.
This episode of Co-Parenting Past Chaos is sponsored by Himalaya Ashwagandha.
Life is full of stress, anxiety, and worries, especially right now. With everything going on in the world today, I don't think there's anyone that isn't dealing with some sort of stress.
As busy wives and moms that work full-time and run a business on the side, all while co-parenting our small army of children and keeping all the husbands in line, we can relate all too well.
We love finding natural ways to take the edge off and protect our body and mind against stressors.
Himalaya ashwagandha helps us navigate through daily stresses and anxiety.
So what is ashwagandha? The answer is simple. Ashwagandha is an herb. In ancient times, ashwagandha was considered the king of Ayurvedic herbs, and it was used for a wide variety of conditions. In functional medicine today, we harness the power of ashwagandha primarily to help our bodies adapt to the stress of modern life so we can feel calm and balanced.
Himalaya ashwagandha is organic, non-GMO, contains no binders or fillers, and is clinically studied for safety and efficacy. Stress less and find calm with Himalaya ashwagandha. The best part? Get 20% off your first purchase on Amazon with discount code COPARENT20.
Check out the show notes for more details on this episode's sponsorship with Himalaya. I've had a marriage of being married to my best friend, and I've also had a marriage based on the foundation of just being passionate and that romantic side, but truly didn't know me. Wasn't my best friend, didn't mm-hmm. talk to me and really get to know me. It was just heated and passionate, which dissolves. I mean, that dies very quickly. And then what do you have left? Now we were 3 kids in and 5 years of a marriage, but we have no idea who we are.
That's right.
And I think that's how your first marriage and your second marriage are very different as well.
Well, and Roy and I really were, because we knew each other long before we got married, mm-hmm. and we were best friends. We had a friendship, but our friendship consisted of just having fun together. We weren't on this wild romantic ride of passion, and that didn't come until much later in our relationship. And that was never a problem in our marriage. It was just more of the communication and more of the validation and the feelings. I needed to see that there was something in there. I need romance. You know, he always teases me, you need Nicholas Sparks. Yeah, I do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Everybody needs something else that fills mm-hmm. their tank. That happens to be mine. I like the romance.
Hey, I was married to Nicholas Sparks too. didn't fill my tank, but now you get to be married to him and it's doing it for you.
Exactly. So everybody needs
everybody has
different.
Their own love language.
That's right. So how do you bounce back from divorce? Would you say it involves some self-reinvention? I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I always used to say this, and it sounds so silly because I'm not fake. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. I really am. I mean, what you see is what you get for the most part in me. But I said this when Roy and I were married, when we would move from duty station to duty station, I was like, all right, let's reinvent ourselves. Let's what do we want to be here? What do we want to do? What do we want to try?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how it is with divorce. Like you got to take some time to kind of reevaluate yourself.
I'm going to say this, and Taylor will appreciate this. Listen, if you're going to be a woman and you're going through divorce, pierce your nipples, dye your hair, drink all the wine you want. Reinvent yourself, whatever it takes. Get a crazy tattoo.
Okay, I apologize now. Or am I?
I'm just saying, this is you're talking about reinventing yourself. Sometimes it takes an extreme.
Okay, I'm talking about reading
whatever
a book,
going to the gym, getting a hobby. There's going to be April type of reinventing, and there's going to be Lauren. Hey, so you can pick your
life. That's right. That's what I love, that we offer that. Because we both have great aspects on life. We have great things to offer other people and advice, but they're so different sometimes.
They are, but they're good.
But they're good.
Everybody needs different.
Yeah, because it'd be so boring if everybody was the same. Okay, I'm certain that you've answered this question before. Do you think the circumstances surrounding your first and second marriages have jaded you a bit, or at least caused you to be much more cautious when it comes to relationships in general?
I hate answering this honestly, But yes.
Yes.
It does.
Well, I mean, I can I wish
I could just say, oh, the third time will be different and just let all the other two times like go away. But it, in the back of your mind, you still have a little bit of paranoia.
Because here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to not bring anything from the past into your current and future relationships. Yes. Okay, but that doesn't always work. It takes time.
Yeah, and sometimes the trauma comes with you. I mean, it's just part of it.
This time, you know, last time I did take time between my relationships. This time I was much older and one foot in the grave. You don't have time. So we did move kind of fast because it's, you know, we knew what we wanted. Why waste 5 more years being engaged or dating? Like, come on, let's just get this train rolling and let's go. But I do think that we had a lot more to learn about each other. For sure.
Yes. Yeah,
for sure. And I wish that I would have healed more from the previous relationships. I say relationships because I don't think I've ever even fully healed from my first marriage. But I wish that would have happened before this. But I'm doing it in a very healthy way this time.
Do you think, I'm just going to ask you. Okay. Do you think I have healed enough from my other marriages? I mean, I've been divorced for 4 years.
Yeah. If you would have asked me this a year ago, I would have said no.
Oh.
But if you, today, I say yes.
I like that.
I do. And I truly mean that. Yay. I think that you have grown and change so much, but not like you haven't changed as far as your core self, but you just,
I think I'm opening up and softening a little bit more.
And I think that was from trauma that you had, and you were always so scared to do that. And I think maybe I've helped a little.
I think you have.
I've let you see that no matter how hard you push somebody, if they truly love you, they're going to stay.
You're right.
And you've push.
I have pushed.
I mean, just saying. You've
my
pushed.
Poor boyfriend. Bless his
heart. I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's fair.
About your poor
I've
boyfriend.
Been pushing you, though, for like 4 years.
You yeah. had the
Here
longest
I still
push.
Sit. Jake, if you want pointers, just call me. What do you think is the most important lesson you've learned in your first marriage / divorce?
I think forgiveness, which always plays back to anything in life, really. The smallest of things when you're 20 years old in a marriage are like, you know, it's the end of the world. And looking back, I could have forgiven a lot more. I could have accepted the ending of it a lot sooner and walked away with a little bit more dignity and class.
I agree. Same. So
if I had maybe just taken those steps and all of that together, I would have probably been ready for healing a lot sooner. Instead, it took me my second divorce to start healing over the first marriage. And then you got to still heal over the second marriage because I just kept it bottled up. I kept that bitterness and resentment and could not let go of any of it.
Well, I don't think for me, I don't know if this is how you feel, but I don't want anybody to know when they get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you've given your all to somebody or to something like a marriage. I don't want you to know that, yeah, you've destroyed me.
You've hurt me.
Yeah. So you do kind of bottle it up and you never really get to tell about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I told Jerry until I was pregnant with Tanner.
Wow.
Like the feelings that, you know, he made me feel, the feelings that he made me have throughout all that time. But definitely for my first marriage / divorce, I would say the same as you, forgiving a little sooner for myself.
Yes.
Not for them.
It's not for them.
It helped me.
But it does help you and them in the long run because they don't have to constantly feel like they're on the defensive because you're on the defensive.
Right. I wish I wouldn't have. I think I put up with a lot. I always say this and it's not fair to the young people, but I was young and ignorant. But I really was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any better, I don't think. And I let a lot of things go that I knew. You know, you always say this, look for the red flags. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were beating me over the head, but I refused.
You do. Or you think you can fix them.
Oh, I was. I'm a fixer.
You can repaint the red flags.
Look at me. I'm fixing this bathroom right now and it's still not done.
But
yeah, I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
I want to fix everything and everybody, but I can't do that.
I think another important takeaway, which didn't happen until my second divorce, is owning my wrong in all of it.
Now that was my
That's
second.
A tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because I want to put the blame on you for not making our marriage work. You
know? I did put that blame on Roy for the longest time.
It takes two to make a marriage work and it takes two to end it.
Absolutely.
Just because one may have, you know, done one thing or maybe they did that the entire time of your marriage doesn't mean you didn't do things and have ownership in places as well.
I think I let that consume me in my second marriage because I had been divorced prior. I didn't I knew I did not want that a second time. And I was willing to do anything. I mean, I didn't go without a fight in either of my marriages, but especially the second one, I fought. I tried really hard, but I just don't think it was ever the right way. We did not speak each other's language as far as revealing the things that we needed or that bothered us so that we could have had a successful marriage. And, you know, that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Absolutely.
So on to the $1 million question. How do you keep from killing your ex?
Are you asking me specifically? Because I still have to see him every single day. I think he's probably going to listen to this.
Like, you need to be like tied up in order to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically,
you know, what's funny? I never had thoughts of murder, surprising, with my ex. But, you know, you do want to strangle them from time to time or scream at them. My thing was always yelling at John because I felt like if you're not going to hear me at a low tone, maybe I need to get higher. So you'll, yeah, it'll you don't go realize through. John doesn't hear like that.
But no man.
Nobody does.
They literally. Stay calm. They wipe you completely out when you start raising your voice.
Stay calm. I think the thing I have to remember is the more hyped up I get, that's what he's wanting. Mm-hmm. That's the reaction. That's the entire full circle. So the calmer I am or the more I ignore, that actually goes better in the long run. And I also have to remember that killing him does not serve me in any way. We have babies together. At the end of the day, my children are in love with their dad. Mm-hmm. And that's really all I could hope for. Just because I don't like him or agree with things sometimes, or he and I disagree, doesn't mean any less of the love that my children have for him or I, or the love that we have for them.
That's right. And when you're talking about how to not kill your husband, obviously we've said we don't mean it literally, but nobody wants to go to jail. So don't even think about that. But there were times in my marriage to Jerry that I was like, man, it would just be better if he just would poof and disappear. And but I know that was not obviously the right thing.
It's a convenient thing, right?
Yeah.
It's convenient.
For them to just disappear.
Just disappear. It makes it easier for me. But does it make it easier for your children?
No way. Your kids would be devastated.
And in the long run, that's also difficult for you. You as the person that has to explain to them where the other parent is. And I'm not talking about a death circumstance, but I'm talking about even if the other parent decides they don't want to be involved in the child's life anymore. Because, yeah, that would be so convenient for me. Yep. Like, no more baby daddy. He just wants to, you know, walk away. No, that's not the solution.
That's detrimental to your child.
It is awful for our children.
Trust
and we have gone to extreme lengths to make sure that never happens.
Yeah. You said this in your blog this week that nobody looks good in orange. Don't let them lie to you. That's true. You don't. Yeah. Like, don't do it. But no, not, we don't literally mean killing your husband figuratively. How do you not lose yourself,
lose your sanity. Mind?
Yeah, your sanity in the process of going through divorce. What we said before, and we'll say this probably until the day we die, forgive. Forgive that person. Forgive yourself.
And there are things. You're going to snap. You may snap.
Yeah.
I tried to burn my ex-husband's clothes on the front lawn. What else did I do? I'm trying to really think back.
We don't have time.
I threw a book at your head.
You did.
You do lose your sanity in those moments where you retaliate.
Been
driven crazy. Yeah. You do. You retaliate.
And especially in a relationship that's not healthy. That's
already volatile.
That's volatile. I remember that. I mean, I did some really, I'm talking like Lifetime movie.
You did.
Stalker.
Go back in our episodes and listen to the podcast we did with Jessica.
Yes.
Which
Jerry's
was her
new wife.
Jerry's new wife.
Well, they've been married for
jaw dropping. Greatest podcast.
But yeah. Those are the really embarrassing things that I did. Move on. Let it go. Let that person go. Let the anger go.
Walk away with any shred of dignity you have left. Because sometimes that's all you're going to be left with. So you might as well have it.
Here's something. Find strength in other people or thing. It's hard for me to say other people right now because I've been let down and you can relate to this, obviously, by people so many times throughout my life, throughout our lives, throughout our journey in this aspect of what we do, co-parenting and all that it entails. But if you have somebody that really, truly you trust and can be there for you, hang on to that person and try to gain some strength from them. Even if it's just for you to go cry on their shoulder and say, you know what? I just really dislike a lot this man or woman that
vent away. That's how my sister and I were for each other, because during my divorce was the same time that her soon to be baby daddy at the time was in jail. So we had a lot in common with our marriages and our relationships falling apart at very similar times. And it was probably unhealthy how often we talked and how negatively we talked about everything. But it's very cathartic at the same time.
Yeah. Therapy. I mean, therapy is really great. Support groups. Those are amazing. Podcasts. Hello.
There you go. I went to divorce classes for a year.
Yeah.
Those are great. You just talk about all the things.
Yeah. I went to therapy to talk about all the things.
Yeah.
And just like I said earlier, hearing it come out of your body when you actually say it, that's, you're owning it and you're admitting that here, this is what happened. This is what I felt. This is.
And if you don't feel like anyone is hearing you, those type of things, going to therapy, speaking to someone close, going to a class, they're going to listen to you. And sometimes just being heard is enough healing to keep going and moving forward. Someone heard me today. So even because my attorney or the courts or my ex-husband doesn't hear me tomorrow, someone heard me today.
I just told someone this week, just talking to somebody that's been through what you're currently going through and is in a positive mind frame. Because here's the thing that I think is really important to remember. You don't really want to go talk to somebody that's going through something just as heinous as you at the moment, because then you're going to feed off of each other's negative energy, and you don't want that. You want to have some kind of positive reinforcement during that time. But somebody that has been through that situation that wasn't so great, that is relatable to what you're going through, but has come out on the other side, you know, maybe they are fully healed or they're in the healing process, that they can just give you some kind of positivity and some kind of refreshing attitude towards the circumstance. Talking to somebody or hearing somebody else's story, like even listening, you know, I'm not trying to promote us, but this is our podcast, but going back and listening to the things that we went through and see where we are now.
Oh, yes.
That's therapeutic.
I mean, that was a huge reason why I think you were the one person that I reached out to during that one time in my life, because I knew a little bit of your story. I didn't know you super, super well, but I knew some of your story. And I was like, if anyone would have known or be able to relate, she has to.
That's right.
She's had some life experience, clearly. I mean, you know, I've heard some of her story in bits and pieces. So let me just see if she can relate to me in this situation. Yeah.
And a lot of times you're going to find someone every time. Not a lot of times. Every time you're going to find at least one person.
Well, you got two people here.
Here we are. Message us.
One of us will have been through it.
Here's the thing. Look at the bigger picture. Remember that where you're at right now, you're not going to be there forever. Start planning for your future, or even just live in the moment. Maybe you're not somebody that plans. I'm a planner. I like to know what's going to happen.
I live hour by hour.
Yeah. Lauren flies by the seat of her pants. It's whatever makes you happy. That's what you do. Focus on you, yourself. Learn to love yourself. Reinvent yourself. All the things. That's going to keep you from wanting to harm anybody. Quite frankly. Especially
it's going to keep your sanity, I promise.
Don't do it. He's meant for something, or she, whichever. They have something that they're meant for. And it just wasn't you. That's okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It does not make you less.
Nope, it doesn't. All right, let's move on to the world's okayest mom segment.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So I'm not sure if I should preface this with it may be considered PG-13.
I already said nipples, so I think you're fine.
Oh, okay. So if you say nipples, like, yeah. Last week you had me worried because you said something about when we finished recording, you were like, oh, that was kind of risque or naughty or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are we not? Do I need to check that mark?
No, I think we need to get a little bit worse. We need to go PG-13.
If people could see how NC-17. We really, I say that we're not fake, but if you see how we really spoke to each other.
Like before hit the record button.
Yeah, it's sick. It's real sick. It is. Anyway, okay, so we've got a soon-to-be stepmom that's going through a custody battle with her fiance. She's asking if anybody knows how judges typically feel about parents that do porn.
Oh my God.
She and her fiance are trying to gain primary custody of his daughter. They just found out that the biological mom has an OnlyFans account. Okay, now, I don't know what that is, so you're going to have to tell
me. I'll explain it
to you.
You're
the hip one.
Okay, so an OnlyFans is like a private web account, and people pay to subscribe so that they can see your content. So imagine a blocked Facebook page or like a blocked Instagram. And the only way you can have access to it is if you pay a subscription to that person. Well, on the other side of that subscription, once you've paid, women have taken over this platform, and it's basically like a small personal porn business of themselves.
So it's the social media on the dark side.
Kind of. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not a fan of that, but to each their own. All right, so this woman would like to know if this will benefit them in their attempt to gain custody of the child.
First of all, okay, whatever someone's choosing to do, I don't have an OnlyFans only because no one would pay to subscribe to see this. And I don't have, you know.
Not even our family.
No. Trust me, it's not worth my time. But I know a lot of women that actually do it.
You do?
And they make a lot of money.
Okay, I'm not trying to be judgy. That sounded very judgy.
But if she's a single mom, and even if she wasn't a single mom, every woman has their right to their own sexuality. And you know what? If people are paying for it, like, why not? I mean, if someone wants to pay me $5 to look at my feet, I'm down. There's some freaks out there. So I mean, to each their own.
I'll just say this. The way my body's set up, I'm not really fit for the OnlyFans account.
I'm not going
to
do
it. However, I mean, I'm never going to judge anybody for what they decide to do with their life. That's on them. That's not for me.
But do you think that will affect her in... First of all, I want to know how this soon-to-be stepmom and her fiancé found out about this OnlyFans.
Well, I don't know.
You know?
She didn't go into that.
So she's obviously done some sneaking around.
Maybe she was peeking on OnlyFans.
That's
I don't know. I don't know if I want to be honest about this because I'm afraid. I think I have very unpopular, because you know me. I'm a little bit
old-fashioned. You think it's going to affect it?
I feel like there are certain things, and I don't know that if it's just society maybe that says... Maybe that's not really what you should do to be an upstanding citizen. Do you know what
Probably
I mean?
Probably not. But I mean, if I was a single mom, I'd be like, hey, do you want me to present my my income? Because I'm making good money.
Maybe she's making good money. And I mean, it's like the same with a stripper, you know?
Yeah.
She's taking her clothes off for money. Not really something that you want to necessarily teach your children. Hey, you should do this.
The only thing I get worried about is the day and age we live in. You know,
exactly.
Everything is documented. So for me personally, that's not a route I would take just because of that. I got three boys. The last thing I need.
Exactly.
Is them Googling their mom someday. But I mean, some people just don't care. I can't judge someone.
No, I'm not ever going to judge because you don't know what you
would
honestly, do until you're
in that situation.
And honestly,
if I had the body and the hustle for it, I probably would do it. But my mom would kill me.
I just don't
think
my mom
would literally kill me, though.
Would have it in me to perform in the nude.
We also don't know. What if her OnlyFans is not even all nude?
So it doesn't have to be. It just has to be like something
OnlyFans
freaky.
OnlyFans was created for musicians, actually.
Oh.
So people could subscribe and pay to see and listen to other people's music. Kind of backfired a little bit because people used it as a platform to be able to secretly, you know, hide their own business of porn, basically. I know women that make like triple my salary. So, and there's some that do way more, but I'm just saying the ones I personally know make way more money, and they, you know, that's a,
yeah, I just
only a few hours a day you got to work.
Just can't do it.
I can't either.
Yeah.
Mostly because it would be a waste of like my education and all this hard work I put into, you know, my mid-level salary.
I would be so embarrassed that nobody would subscribe to my channel.
Listen, I work in an all-male industry. I would be mortified to show up
at
work. And someone, it would spread like, that makes me almost
like I always think,
now.
You know, when we started this business, we were like, okay, is there anything embarrassing
that could come out?
That could come out about us. And I'm like, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that everything I've done, everybody knows.
Mine was before the social media age.
Yeah. And hopefully everything that I did bad was before anybody took a picture of it. But could you imagine now going into your office, your professional job, and
I would die.
And seeing somebody that you had just taken your clothes off for? Or what if it was like your boss's husband?
I'm mortified just thinking about that.
No.
So I couldn't. But
like,
I think a lot of these people that have
movies.
Some of them don't have day jobs, you know? Some of them, that is their job. I don't know. To each their own. I can't really say specifically if the courts would have an issue with it or not. The fact
I'm
going
to tell you right now, if John Kirk found out that you were taking your clothes off, he'd have a problem.
But see, like, that's the thing. I would have already told you guys if that was something I was interested in doing. I would, like, set the expectations.
You wouldn't have.
But back then, I wouldn't have done it anyways.
Well, yeah, but I just don't think that's... I don't know. I feel like don't judge the mom for what she's doing. She's putting food on the table.
If she's putting food on the table,
you know,
and
like,
she's providing a good life for
your
her
thing,
children.
Boo. But I don't know that it's necessarily... I think that it's probably frowned upon in this
it's
establishment.
It's probably frowned upon, but I don't know the circumstances, so.
Yeah, but hey, you know.
That's our half.
Don't be trying to find us on OnlyFans, because.
Yeah, we are not.
We're not there.
Co-Parenting Past Chaos is not on OnlyFans. No. It is one of the few platforms we are not on. Don't try looking for it, because I promise you won't find us.
Oh, God, somebody's going to create an account with our picture.
You know, if you do, I get 20% of that cut.
It's like that dream I had that somebody put my face on
somebody else's
body. Naked body.
I have had people reach out to me and ask, like, can I just use your body and put my face on it or sell your body?
My sister says that.
Your sister's. Hey, if you want to, I will do that kindly, but I get like a 50% cut.
Like, I could do like my feet. Like if somebody was like into feet, I could be like, here. Ew, no, I don't. But I would be like, here are my feet.
Here's some feet.
Here's my knee. You can use that.
Wait, people sell anything. They sell underwear on the internet. So.
Ew. Okay. This is going to get more than PG. All right.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about us, visit our website at www.wifestales.com.
And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you're the first to know about all our upcoming events. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to tune in every Sunday for new episodes. We would love for you to subscribe and review our podcast.
Always remember, with prayer, anything is possible.